This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The time has come.
I like that.
The time is now. For Victoria Stillwell's Positively Podcast. She's a world-renowned dog trainer.
Seen enough dogs today, have you?
She's the host of It's Me or the Dog.
I'm coming to train you.
Along with co-host Holly Furfer.
You don't play around with that name, do you?
I am a fan of Shreddy Balls.
She's Victoria Stillwell, and she's ready to go.
This is a lovely way to start the day.
You get the busy bee. I need to trim her whiskers.
I see some poo here.
I feel a little bit better now because I'm the only one who usually feels stupid during the podcast.
Now, let's head to the studio and get this Positively Podcast started.
I feel like I should have jingle bells and be jingling something.
It's Christmas time.
I know.
I love it. And it's been Hanukkah and
yes.
Kwanzaa. And so, I mean, this is just holiday time, isn't
it? This is fun. New Year's, whatever you, you know what? And even if you don't follow any religion, whatever, you can't help but notice everybody's in a good mood. Everybody smiles. Except for when you're in the parking lot at the mall, then my things are like...
Or except if you're in the store and you're listening to the terrible music. I have this thing that I put on Instagram where I'll be walking around the store and then all of it, I mean, there'll be just the most dreadful music. So I always do this little kind of little video of and the video is just my face just listening to this music. I kind of want to share the experience with people because, and then you got the Christmas songs ad nauseum.
You still go to the mall?
But no, I don't really go to the mall. I'm just talking about any stores. I like going out shopping sometimes.
Yeah, I
don't just get my stuff online. Mm. But yeah, it's just the stores that I go to do have the kind of muzak.
Right.
But anyway, look.
Where you had Bon Jovi done by, like, you know, the Fifth Symphony Orchestra.
Look, lots going on. Mm-hmm. And then this is obviously our celebration episode. But
it is. But nobody told me I would have dressed nicer.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Look, but I've got a lot to celebrate.
Good, yes.
About, because here are some things that I want to talk a little bit about. We're celebrating because there's been such an amazing response to Lucy's Law in the UK.
Explain what Lucy's Law is.
Okay, so hashtag Lucy's Law. Lucy was the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel that had been a breeding dog in a puppy mill or puppy farm in the UK for years and years and years. Thankfully, she was rescued. She spent the last 3 years of her life with this beautiful person, receiving the love that she needed to have right from the start. And her story and her treatment highlights the fact of the devastation that these poor breeding animals suffer in puppy farms, which then obviously the puppies get sold in pet stores and get sold online. And it's just terrible. Well, Lucy's Law is it now just, I mean, it's everywhere. And the reason why is because Lucy's Law will basically put a ban on third-party sales of puppies in the UK.
I love that.
Which will effectively stop puppy farms because you won't be able to sell puppies in pet stores. You won't be able to sell them online from dodgy internet sites. Pet stores will have to sell rescue dogs instead or have adoption days
that.
In rescue dogs instead. And so, you know, all the papers are reporting on it, and you know, we've had Mark Abraham on the show before, and he is with At Pup Aid, and he's the brainchild behind it, and Parliament are talking about it now.
Great.
We're on the verge of having puppy farming and a ban on third-party sales in the UK.
I would urge
everybody, just go on, do hashtag Lucy's Law. You'll
read
be able
about
to
it.
Find out lots. The Daily Mirror have been, the Daily Mail have been talking about it. Publications, I mean, just Google Lucy's Law and you'll see what I mean. And please support it. Sign whatever you need to sign. Share it on social media. And let's get rid of puppy farms in the UK. The other reason,
but how do we get it here? That's what I want to know. How do we bring it to the U.S.? I want it to spread like a bad disease, only it's great.
Well, the other gift, you know, I don't need physical gifts for Christmas. These are gifts to me. The other gift is that California has just announced that they have put a ban on selling puppies in pet stores.
I love it. So it's their version.
And puppies, cats, and I think it's guinea pigs.
Like a rabbits or something.
Or rabbits, yes. Those are being banned. So, and you can only, again, rescue animals. Fantastic.
California's always ahead of everything.
Always ahead.
You know?
Always
love
ahead.
Them.
And I'm hoping that other states will follow suit because we have an unbelievably desperate situation of puppy mills here. Petland being one of the stores that is absolutely disgusting, that sells puppies from puppy mills. And
is it all about the money?
It is all about the money. Yeah, they work with the Hunt Corporation. The Hunt Corporation are the middlemen. The Hunt Corporation have a, you know, that they deliver puppies everywhere. And, you know, when you see the paperwork and you see that this puppy's come from Ohio or Missouri or Pennsylvania, or, you know, this is a puppy from a puppy mill. 99% of dogs that are sold in pet stores, if it's not from through a rescue group or rescue organization, come from puppy mills. That's from the Humane Society of the United States statistics. The other thing that is a gift is Victoria becomes the first state.
Is it your namesake?
It's my namesake. Becomes the first state in Australia to ban puppy mills.
I love that.
Yes, it is. And there is still licensed breeding will be allowed, but it will be very much regulated. But the actual terrible puppy mills, there's going to be a ban. That starts in 2019. So, you know, this is great.
The movement.
It is a movement that's growing and growing because, you know, unfortunately, there are people out there that will still get puppies from pet stores. It just drives me crazy. But I feel like there's the movement to stop it. Okay, so, and the next thing I want to do, this is also a gift. And then I'll stop because I know I'm talking a lot. But
no, go. I love it. She's smiling. I wish you could all see what I see. I'm just looking, stand back, watching the show.
You remember we talked about Victoria? She was a German Shepherd that, when I was lost in Pennsylvania with Finding Shelter Animal Rescue, that was rescued from a puppy mill, and she'd been a breeding dog for 10 years, and she was rescued because the farmer didn't want her anymore because the dog had hurt its paw. And was getting blind in one eye and had hurt its paw, I think, in some sort of machinery.
And probably had never had any medical care at all.
No. So we rescued Victoria, and I remember carrying her out of there and carrying into the vet's office this terrified dog, terrified, shut down completely, in an appalling state, and very little use of her back legs. Well, we find out that she has degenerative myelopathy, which is a genetic disease. So you know that all of those puppies that have been bred, they could have degenerative myelopathy too.
When you don't know, you don't know what you're buying.
But she is now in the care of Finding Shelter Animal Rescue, and she is in their care permanently now.
Oh, great.
And she has come out of her shell.
Aww.
She is just the most wonderful dog, and she's got a bucket list.
Oh, really?
So now, if you go on V for Victoria, her Facebook page, you'll be able to find out what Victoria is doing. And things on her bucket list are she is visiting all kinds of places, and she's become law enforcement dog for the day. And this terrified dog is now realizing for the first time what love is. We don't know how long she's got left. We don't know how long, and we're trying to raise money so that we can get a cart for her so that, you know, when her legs do finally give out, she can still walk around. But, you know, she's there for as long as her quality of life is good, and Grace and Steve Herbert from Finding Shelter Animal Rescue are doing an amazing job with her. So please Google her, go on her Facebook,
follow her.
Support them, follow her. Those are my gifts.
I love it.
What could you ask for more?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. That's amazing. I'm glad to hear it. What a way to start this podcast. I think it's the best. All right. I have a bunch of questions for you. I know our Ask Victoria mailbag is huge.
Yes, it is huge.
A lot of people, especially around this time of year, they're having friends and family over for the holidays through New Year's. They're traveling. So let's get to Ask Victoria.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hey, you got something on your mind?
What are you, a wizard, a genius?
How do they make a miniature? I mean, is there some way, some process they physically miniaturize the dog, or is it a puppy, or what the devil is going on?
That's a really good question.
I've got my work cut out for me here.
Next time you want to know something,
can you repeat the question?
Why don't you ask Victoria? She's the expert with this kind of stuff, you know.
You obviously don't know my dog.
Just ask Victoria.
Okay, we're starting spreading. No, that didn't even make sense. We're going to start to spread some more holiday cheer. No, we're going to continue spreading holiday. Whatever it is, we're going to make everyone happy by answering your questions and solving your problems. And no, I've not had any eggnog yet. Okay. So here's a question from Haley Zanstra from Valparaiso, Indiana, which I have been to. near Purdue University. I'm a Midwesterner. And she's got an 8-year-old female pit bull named Thrash. And she said, when we go on vacation, we have to board her at a kennel. She puts up a fight with people who take her back to get boarded. I tried treats and going back there with her, and she won't move. I have to push her to get into the kennel. What do I do? Help.
She doesn't like it there.
No, and I'm like, don't push, don't push. I remember that from you.
She doesn't want to be there. Are you saying that you have to push her to get into the kennel and then leave?
Probably.
She's your dog, or after you've left, the people that have her there have to do the same.
She says, I have to push her into the kennel. So it sounds like she has to help get her into the back because she resists the people trying to go into the back to bring her into the boarding area.
If that's the case, is there any way that you can just leave her there and leave so that you're not the one putting her in the kennel? That's why I'm a little bit confused.
Well, it says here, she puts up a fight with the people who take her back to get boarded. So I have a feeling then she probably goes, okay, you know, like I take my dog to the vet and I'm like, come on. And they kind of walk with me like, where are we going? And then I disappear and they go and they're like, too late.
All right. And then I guess maybe if they can't get her to kennel, then she doesn't want to go.
I know it.
So first of all, that would make me think, is this the right place for her? Mm. You know, what kind of boarding kennel is it? What does she do when she's there? Do they have webcams that you can watch her and see if she's happy? Because it might mean that you have to change and go to somewhere different. Or you maybe go to a sitter that maybe has dogs that they just have in their house. Look, you know, there's many great boarding facilities, but at the end of the day, you're still in a place where your dog is in a kennel run and it's separated from you. And, you know, it's really hard when you go away to leave your dogs. And it's really hard for those dogs when you go away because they're isolated, aren't they? You've gone. It's like, oh my God, it's an abandonment. So that's what I would really look to is this facility the right one? And okay, if there's no other facility and you have to do this, then what does your dog love the most? Is it, will your dog go for a really delicious, warmed up, smelly hot dog that is thrown at the back of the kennel run? Will your dog go for that? Or a juicy, delicious piece of steak? Something that is really motivating for the dog. Can the dog go for a bit of exercise first before it's taken back? Is there something that kennel placement, can the dog go to a different kennel run in a different part of the facility? Is it too overwhelming? You know, these are kind of things that I would look at when I'm boarding my dog or if I'm having a problem with a dog in a boarding facility about where it's going to go. So try that. But this might be a dog that actually doesn't do well in a kennel run environment because even with the best intentions, boarding facilities can be like rescue shelters where it's just run after run after run of barking dogs. And so you might think, oh, you know, this is great for my dog. I'm going for my vacation. The dog's going to have a great vacation. Here's the thing. If your dog pulls you into the facility and doesn't even look back when you leave, good. That's the kind of, right, your dog's happy. But if your dog just puts the brakes on and doesn't want to go, I think that's an indication, and I think you have to find somewhere else. That's not really, I guess, the most constructive way to answer your question.
It's hard.
It's a truthful way.
Yeah. We were talking earlier. I don't know the situation there, and I don't know how well her dog does with other dogs, but like we talked about, one of my friends is going out of the country for 3 weeks, and she found a woman who takes in dogs. Rather than have someone, a dog sit at your house, it's considerably less expensive because the woman doesn't have to keep going to the house and the dog's not alone all the time. And she has a dog and, you know, just made sure that they liked each other. It was safe. And she looked at it's a safe environment. The woman's a stay at home and this is how she makes extra money. Her husband works and, you know, she loves animals and, you know, her dog is a little dog who loves having company. So something like that worked out really well for them. Maybe that's a better environment, a home environment, if it's possible. What do you think, Vic?
I think that, yeah. That's what I I just know from seeing dogs in boarding facilities that sometimes these facilities, and I'm not saying because there's a lot of great people that have boarding facilities. There's a lot of great Victoria Still Positive dog trainers, VSPDTs, that have great boarding facilities. But, you know, it's not for every dog.
Mm-hmm.
So every dog is different. Okay.
All right. Here's a question from Ryan Gutowski from Weston, Wisconsin. We're staying in the Midwest. And he says, my girlfriend and I have a 7-month-old Morkie.
That's a Maltese Yorkshire
Terrier. Oh, I couldn't figure out what the Yorkie was with. Okay. She works from home, so is here all day. Our dog will not separate from her at all. When she's working, he's right next to her. When we go to bed, he has to be laying on her. If she goes to the bathroom, he's at the very least in there with her, if not jumping on her. She's the only one he does this to, and she wants to correct this behavior. It's good because he's only 7 months old. We don't think it's a separation anxiety, as there have been times we left him home and he's fine. He just sleeps. So any advice would be appreciated. Thanks.
He's just really attached.
He loves her.
Just loves her, loves to be. Like my dogs, unless they're asleep, they follow me everywhere. But there's time, like if I want to go to the bathroom or I want to take a shower or I just need a bit of alone time, I go into the bathroom by myself, basically, and I shut the door. And sometimes I'll hear like a little nose at the bottom of the door, and then I'll hear Sadie just kind of flop as she lies down on the ground outside the door.
Waiting for you.
And then I open the door, and they're so excited and so happy to see me. I think, you know, it's called independence training. And while it's fine and it's lovely to have your dog attached to you, to go to the bathroom by yourself is what you kind of have to do. To shower by yourself is what your girlfriend has to do. And keep your dog outside the door. And sometimes shut the door on your dog. Even if your dog scrabbles a little bit, you know, as long as the dog isn't completely anxious, then that giving that dog that ability to be a little bit more independent and help it. What does your dog love? Does your dog love a chew? So give your dog a chew and go into another room and let your dog have a little bit of alone time there. I don't know. Take your dog for lots of exercise. We love that. And have your partner, so the person who wrote in, do a little bit more with the dog. So it's not just, the dog's not just looking at your girlfriend for all of its, you know, for everything.
I have to tell you, you know, you're talking about how they follow you over. My dogs do too. When I'm home, sometimes they're just right on me. I'm like, come on, you guys. And so Barnsley, my coonhound, who has this, his eyes are so expressive. Sometimes he looks at you when he's got, you know, he's dark. So I call him Darth Vader. He has the Darth Vader eyes. It's very intense and it actually kind of freaks me out a little bit. And I asked Sean, my husband, he's like, it freaks me out too. But, he now knows to give me a little space because he's pretty good about it. But sometimes I'll be like in the shower and I see this little head come around the corner and just staring. And I'm like, that's a little creepy, dude. You're a boy. I'm a girl. I'm your mom. Go in the other room because I forget to shut the door. And he's like, what's hello? And he just doesn't say anything. He just stands and stares. Anyway, so yeah, we all know
he's
that.
He's a weird dog. He's such a weird
so
dog.
So sweet, though. Okay, so this is from, pronounce this name for me because she's from Dublin. And her last name's O'Rourke, and it's R-O with a accent I-S-I-N.
Oh, Royce. It's something like, there's a completely different pronunciation.
Okay, well, you're answering the question. I'm going to look it up, okay?
Yes, please
Okay, because it's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
She says, hi, Victoria. I have an 11-year-old Labrador who's constantly pulling on the lead. He's getting old now, and due to his behavior, I'm limited to bringing him places. I was wondering if you recommend one, which would be the best harness for my dog.
I would think that would be the Positively No Pull Harness. Yes, you can go online and you can find out about the Positively No Pull Harness if you just go into positively.com and in the search engine on the Positively site, you put in Positively No Pull Harness. It will take you to the page where it tells you about the harness and it tells you how to fit it and how to use it. And what I love about it is that it takes pressure off dog's sensitive necks and it puts the pressure more evenly around the body. And there is two attachments, one on the back of the shoulders and one on the chest. You see, this dog's center of gravity is right here. So when you attach a leash to the ring on the chest and the dog tries to pull, instead of the dog being able to pull, the dog's body comes round a little bit. Now, what I've done is there's natural play in every harness. So in any harness that you use. So what happens with harnesses that just have one ring in the middle is that when a dog pulls, because of the natural play in the harness comes round and the loop actually comes off the center of gravity and comes to the side. Well, then you kind of lose a bit of that no-pull action. So I design my harness to have two loops on either side. And if you're standing on the right-hand side of your dog, you will connect the leash to the far furthest loop, which is the left loop. And if you're standing and if you're walking your dog on your right hand side, you connect the dog to the far loop, which is the far loop on the right. Okay? And then you use the leash, which you use it with a double attachment leash, kind of like the reins of a horse. And as soon as the dog starts pulling, you just put a little bit of gentle pressure to the leash, part of the leash that's attached to the chest, and the dog's body will come round. Now, for a Labrador, I don't know how big your Labrador is, but you're looking at a large or an extra large, it should fit snugly like a wristwatch. And put it on your dog, let your dog wear it around the house and get used to it first before taking the dog outside. But hopefully, the Positively No-Pull harness will help make walking with your dog just a little bit better and a bit more enjoyable. And, you know, Holly, I love harnesses. I do, because, gosh, it takes pressure off that neck. But, Sarah Fisher is a T-Touch practitioner. She is truly an amazing person. She is part of our faculty as well for the Victoria Stillwell Academy. And she makes a really good point. You don't put on the same clothes every day. So why would you put the same harness on your dog every day? That, you know, change it up so the pressure points are different. So use three different kind of harnesses or two different kind of harnesses or, something that means that it's not going to be the same harness every day. Do you know what I mean? It's like because even with a Positively No-Pull harness, there's pressure points as well, and sometimes just changing a harness up gives the dog a different kind of feeling. And anatomically for the dog, there's not it's different kinds of pressure, which means that it's better for your dog's body. It's better for your dog's
I do the same. I use this Positively No-Pull harness
So
all the time.
You don't have to, but I think that she brings up a really good point. So there are some people, like I have a couple of different harnesses for my dogs, but of course I use my Positively No-Pull harness as well.
Back up a second. You said it's a double leash, so it goes on one side and then it goes on the back?
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
So it's a double leash. So you have two attachments and then you work the dog like this. It's kind of like, do you just have one leash? But you can just use one leash and just attach it to
the
front.
Okay, good. Because I was like, oh my God, this whole time I've only used that, but
it works fine. No,
I was
can.
Okay.
So you can. Absolutely. Yeah. If you don't, you want to use get the double leash, you can just use it with a clip on the front.
Sean always complains that I don't read directions, and I think he might be right. But yeah, it does. It works beautifully. I have I put it on the one part, and he, when we stop, and he goes, what? And it works beautifully.
Good.
And I looked up her name, and it's Roisin. It's Roisin, or I guess Roisin, and it means little rose.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Roisin. God,
Roisin.
Irish names.
I know, I love that.
So I'm Irish, by the way.
You are?
Yeah, my ancestors are from Ireland as well, and I'm very proud to be Irish.
Is Siobhan, the name Siobhan, but it's like Siobhan. S-I-O-B-A-N, and I love that.
Yeah, that's an Irish name as well.
Always love that name.
I just found out recently about my family tree. So,
oh, you did?
But I knew that I have Scottish ancestors, and I knew that that there was Irish, but now I really know who they are.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really cool.
My cousin, I'm just looking here, my cousin sent me an email not too long ago, and her daughter for a project did the DNA thing and found out that there are furfurs. We thought we were the only furfurs in the world. We thought it was made up, but actually it's French.
Oh, furfurs are French.
Furfier.
Oh, furfier.
They don't know, but they found that they saw our name on a what do you call it? The shield, whatever.
Oh, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. One crest, of those. A family crest.
And I'm talking to you, but she's sitting right there, so I kind of can't stop. I know it looks weird because I'm in the corner and you're. Anyway, do we have time for one more question?
Yes, let's do one more question, but then we got a party because it's, Christmas.
Party, yes, we do. We have a quiz.
We do have a quiz.
All right. First one, real quick, our last one rather. Skylar Goforth from Provo, Utah says, I'm a first-time dog owner and have a concern about not having an enclosed yard. I would like to be able to let my dog out and not have to worry about her running away. I know the simplest solution is to keep her on a leash while she's out, but I would like her to be able to roam around without restraint. Is there a way to establish barriers for her without a fence or an enclosed yard?
There is. There, I mean, you know, again, it just takes going out there with your dog and getting your dog used to the boundaries, never leaving your dog out there by itself, I'd have to say. And if you want to leave your dog out by itself, then you truly do need to have some kind of physical barrier, not an electric fence. Mm. The liability of an electric fence. They say, you know, these companies are very clever. Their marketing is so great. I saw a company the other day. I saw a sign in somebody's yard, and it has a picture of a dog saying, I love heart my blah, blah fence. I can't say the company. I love my fence. I thought, what clever marketing. That they put that sign out there because obviously this person, and they're very close to me, just had an electric fence put in. And of course, people are going to drive past and go, oh, look at that picture of the dog with the big heart saying it loves its blah, blah fence. And they have no idea. They have no idea. The people that install your fences, they are not trainers. They are salespeople, number one. Number two, when they say freedom for your dog, not really. Freedom with a hint of anxiety, with a bit of fear because if the dog goes part across that barrier that it's learned not to because it's been hurt by being shocked if it did. So many dogs, even if they've experienced one shock, okay, they become really scared of going out into the front or backyard. Doesn't matter whether you have the electric fence. It exacerbates fence running. So dogs that do stay behind the fence, they can see as well as hear things on the other side of that fence. And so now they're chasing bicycles that go past, or they're barking and being reactive as people walk past, or as cars go past, or as bikes go past. If you just talk to the animal control of your city, I want you to go talk to them and find out how many dogs do you find with electric collars on that are wandering and lost, and they will tell you a lot. Because also, you know, it just takes one time for that dog to see a squirrel or an animal or something that it wants to get to on the other side of the fence. Everything, all of their training goes out the door, and boom, they run past that shock. They get shocked, and then they're too scared to come home, but then they can get run over. Then they start wandering and get lost. Then they can go hurt somebody. I'm telling you, no boundary, even a fence, can offer 100% protection. But a fence can offer much better protection than an invisible fence can. So here is my advice to you. Yes, there is a way of establishing a boundary. And I do it by boundary training. And I do it by a system of flags like they do for electric fences. But there's obviously no electric fence there. And I do teach the dogs that they have to remain behind the flag. And all it is I have a flag there. I teach the dog to go back and remain behind it. I do body blocking, and we do that at every flag. And so when the dog realizes that those flags means that it can't go beyond there, then I can begin to take the flags up, very similar to how they train with the electric fences, but not with a shock. Now, the fact is, though, that I know dogs well enough that I don't leave my dog out in the front or backyard by themselves if there is no physical barrier to stop them from getting out, because at the end of the day, you've got a predator, you've got an animal there. And it just takes one little thing for that dog to lose its mind or get crazy brain and then go. And so that's why I think if there's a way you could construct a kennel run within your backyard or somewhere where your dog can go, and if you can't, then it's a long line for your dog to go outside. And so my dogs, for example, Holly, Ken, and I have a Chihuahua and a Labrador. When I'm working in my front yard, they are out in the front yard with me, and they do not go beyond that barrier. No physical barrier in the front yard.
The other thing.
But we have a fenced-in backyard, and I can leave them by themselves in the fenced-in backyard if I'm in the house. But I'm sorry, these electric fences, They drive me crazy.
Here's the other thing about it, too. So your dog may not be able to get out, but anything else can get in. So what if there's a stray dog that happens to be rabid or, you know, aggressive, and your dog has nowhere to go because it can't go out because it's got an electric fence? So you may prevent your dog from leaving the yard, but you can't prevent things from coming in the yard, and now you've just made your dog vulnerable, and that would really worry me.
And kids. I mean, there's been so many cases of kids going onto the properties getting bitten. And also, because of the dog receiving the shock, can exacerbate aggressive response, so the dog becomes more aggressive towards the people in the house, too. Now, here's the killer. And I don't use that word lightly. I know it's tough. But it's a great way to get your dog stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave your dog out in the front yard with no physical barrier.
Or in the
Just
backyard.
Leave it there. Freedom for your dog. Or in the backyard. Your dog will get stolen, and it happens all the time, all the time. Look, I'm part of, you know, we have a neighborhood network, and, you know, I would say like 3-4 times a week. Lost dog. Look, you'll find it has its electric, went through its electric fence. I mean, it is crazy the amount of times it happens. And also lost dogs. These dogs have been stolen, some of these dogs. Some of these dogs have been stolen. And who are they? If it's a purebred, oh, it's going to be sold on. If it's another dog, maybe it's going to be used in bait and dog fighting.
So
I'm telling you, please, please, for the love of goodness, have an electric fence. Just don't, whatever you call them, an e-fence, an invisible fence, whatever fence, do not do it. Do not do it. Do not do it.
So you're saying no.
I just think I said no.
I love that impassioned whatever. That was awesome. Well, right. Now we know. Good. Thank you. And if you want to send questions in to us, podcasts@positively.com, we'd love to have your questions. Vic would love to answer them because then we're all smart.
Let's jump right into the Let's Embarrass and Humiliate Holly segment.
Open your notebook, sharpen your pencil, and get ready. Give me something to write. You're about to attend Victoria's Animal Academy.
Okay, so since we're talking holidays and gift giving and loving and peace and spirit and all that good stuff, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a quiz. And again, it has nothing to do with dogs, but it is the holidays. And so I think everybody, you know, whether you celebrate or not, is in the spirit and may or may not know this. So I'm going to give some softballs to you first. So,
oh, my God.
Don't get comfortable. Be jaded.
And then I can't get it.
No, really, really easy.
I promise.
Seriously. You'll get the first one. Ready?
Oh,
right. In the song Frosty the Snowman, what made Frosty come to life? Really? I thought you might have to sing it.
Frosty the Snowman.
Yep.
I don't know Frosty the Snowman. I was brought up in England.
Do they not have snow there?
No, we have snow, but...
Did you not have Frosty?
No,
you were
not
so...
Really.
Oh.
Had a shiny... No, that's Rudolph had a shiny nose.
Yes. You were...
What made brought him to life? I
feel really bad because you were like, you know, you suffered over there. An old silk hat.
Absolutely no idea.
Really?
Not
even
1,000%.
Thought this was going to be easy, but apparently not.
God.
Okay, here's one. You've got to get this one. Who played George Bailey in the Christmas classic It's a Wonderful Life?
There you go. Oh, James Stewart.
Yes,
Jimmy Stewart. Thank God for that.
There we go. I'm not going to keep score. One of Santa's reindeer shares a name with a famous symbol of Valentine's Day. What reindeer is that? Really? She's looking at me with a blank face.
What do you mean a symbol of Valentine's Day?
What's a symbol of
what?
What else?
Red.
What are his reindeer? Come on. On Dasher, on Dancer, on
Prancer, and Vic something, Vixen.
Vixen, Comet, and
Cupid.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
You totally would not get that point, though.
I'm sorry,
I had to walk you through it.
God. Just my brain.
I love it. Okay, what much-reviled Christmas edible is known for its long shelf life?
Oh, Christmas pudding in England, but we're not in England for its long shelf life. Christmas edible. Here, I don't know, but there, it's freaking mince pies and Christmas pudding. You can eat it a year
later.
What's
Christmas pudding?
Christmas cake. It's this disgusting concoction of raisins and other fruits.
It's a fruit cake.
It's a fruit cake.
That's the answer. A fruit cake.
Okay, disgusting. Don't ever feed me fruit cake.
Well,
please.
I'll tell you this, though. If there's an apocalypse, it probably will still be around. We may have to eat it.
God, yes, it might. Okay.
In the early 1800s, the first gingerbread houses were reportedly inspired by what famous fairy tale?
I don't know, the gingerbread man. I don't know. What?
Think about there was an old witch and she was baking.
She lived in a shoe and she had no.
No, no, she was baking. Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, Hansel and Gretel.
I really thought these were easy. I'm a Jew and I knew this.
God.
Okay. In the song, you probably won't know this one. Watch, this is the one you'll know. In the song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, what incriminating evidence was found on Grandma's back?
A print? A paw print? A piece of reindeer poo?
Claws marks.
Claws marks.
Get it?
Yeah.
But it's C-L-A-U-S. According to legend, what is the inspiration for candy cane? Or what are the inspirations for candy canes? This one was a little tough.
Red and white.
No, no.
As in candy canes are red and white.
Yeah, but what's the inspiration?
Walking sticks.
Have you been drinking eggnog? Yes, you got it. Walking sticks.
Yeah.
Yes. So a shepherd's staff is a way to remind children of the shepherds who visited baby Jesus.
Well, no, well, I didn't really get that right,
okay.
But it kind of is the shape of a walking stick. So
I have
that was a guess. That was pretty good.
Can I divert and take a left turn with everybody? Would everybody be mad if I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
And we have okay, I'll do it really quickly. I used to travel when I was single with all my friends, and we'd go to Europe, and they have these amazing things called Kinder markets. You probably had them in England.
Yes.
They set up little booths, and it's like a market. But, you
love
know, with
it.
Handcrafts, but it's a lot of, you know, Christmas and holiday stuff. So we were in Germany. We were in Berlin, and they have this big central square, and they were setting up on, like, Monday or whatever, because Tuesday was going to be the big open of the Kinder market. And so they were setting it up, and I walk by, and me as the animal lover walks by, and I see they're putting hay, and they've got, like, this trough and stuff, and I go, look, there's going to be a petting zoo. And they all started laughing. They're like, oh, our little Jewish friend, that's going to be the manger. And they start telling me the story, you know, with, I was like, oh, yeah. So I felt like a total ding dong. Like the whole time, I was like, oh, I hope I didn't offend anybody. That's terrible. Why would I think that, you know? And then the next day, you know, they were all ready and everything was all set up and they were going to have their big grand opening. And we walked by and I was like, oh, look, there's no nativity in there. And it was a petting zoo. And so across the entire Kinder market, I yelled, come quick, the llama's eating baby Jesus. Because the llama was eating out of the trough.
How old were you?
Oh, like, I don't know, 35.
Oh, okay.
But I was all excited.
That's
I was like,
so
come
cool.
quick.
You are yes. right.
See, so there you go. So never... apologize. Always go with your gut instinct.
Yeah.
There you go.
Holly, see?
All right. Sorry about that left turn. Back to this. In the movie A Christmas Story, which for the record is my favorite.
I love
What
Christmas
was the
story.
Name of the next door neighbors who dogs ate the Christmas turkey?
No idea.
What do you think about the Bumpuses?
You know.
The
no,
Bumpuses.
The Bumpuses.
All
okay.
Right. You know I have a leg
yeah.
lamp.
Yeah. You have a leg lamp?
Yeah. In our TV room, we have a little leg lamp.
Okay.
I was going to get the full-size one, but then
yeah,
I thought...
Yeah, that's a little much.
It's too fragile to get home. In the TV special, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what three words best describe the Grinch?
Oh, it's for part of the song, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sing it.
Oh, God. Oh, he's a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Oh, he's something like a 5-foot pole or something. I don't know. Can I just also tell you, I didn't grow up with the Grinch.
You didn't?
The Grinch was something when I moved to America that I found out about.
What did
right?
you have?
We don't have the Grinch in England. No, we don't.
You're
There's
all
no Grinch in the
really?
England. And so when I came, I oh my
kind
gosh.
Of fun. Did you have? You didn't have Dr. Seuss?
We have Dr. Seuss, so yes, in books, and the Grinch was in there, but it's not part of the Christmas thing.
Okay, so...
So I just want to say that it wasn't until I had my daughter that I started learning about the Grinch.
And
the Grinch is kind of scary, so I didn't really
true.
Even like it.
Well, the three words are stink, stank, stunk.
There you go.
So there you go. All right. Here we go. Let's get off that, and let's go to something better, all right? You'll know this one, Miss Europe.
Please don't say that.
What do Germans hide in their tree?
Oh, my gosh.
My roommate was German. Her family was German.
I'm
and
not
she didn't...
German. I don't know. What do they hide in the tree? Candy?
A pickle.
The
first one who...
I think in a million years, I would have never said a pickle.
The first one who finds it gets a special gift.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I was at a...
That's interesting. Find
I was,
a pickle.
And,
yeah.
I was at a... White Elephant, you know, where you get the exchanges.
Yeah,
and our friend Monica got a... singing pickle.
She got a singing pickle?
Yes.
That's pretty
It'll
cool.
end up at Regiftmas, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. In Great Britain, you've got to know this one.
If I don't, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm like...
In Great Britain, what do they do to make a wish at Christmas?
Oh, I don't. What do you mean in Great Britain? What do we do to make a wish at Christmas?
You stir Christmas pudding mix in a clockwise direction before it's cooked
ridiculous.
To make a wish that will come true.
Nobody does that. Nobody does that.
This is where we need video.
Yeah.
You got to see her face.
It's
ridiculous.
Okay, how about this? In the Czech Republic,
oh, gosh.
What do single women do at Christmas? Funny that you would get probably the... No, you'll never get this one.
No. They dance around their husbands for fertility.
No,
I don't know.
Single woman. A single woman.
Oh, a single woman. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. They do something so that they can get a man.
Yes, very good. Of course you get this one.
Okay.
They stand by the door and then they throw a shoe over their shoulder. And if the shoe is pointing where they're standing, it means they're going to get married that year.
Wow.
Yeah.
gosh.
Okay, here we go. Let's go back to A Christmas Story because I love this movie. In A Christmas Story, Ralphie says he wants a Red Ryder BB gun how many times?
Oh, my God.
Spoiler alert, he comes close, but he doesn't shoot his eye out.
Yeah, 100 times. Oh, my God, it's a lot.
28.
Okay, 28 times.
You know, that's going to come up at a Christmas party.
Yes,
you're going to be like, did you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
George Washington's recipe for eggnog included what? And this is why he's my favorite president, probably.
A lot of alcohol.
Yes, three types of booze, rye, whiskey, rum, and sherry. Mm-hmm. Look at that. You got throwing the shoe and liquor so far. Okay, in Old English, mistletoe translates into what?
I have no idea, but obviously mistletoe is for kissing under, but I don't know, actually.
Dung on a twig.
Oh, ooh.
Apparently, the old Germanic tribes noticed the plant sprouts out of bird droppings and decided to label it such.
Oh, dear. And you kiss underneath it? Oh, good Lord.
You know, because you know it's a parasite, right? It's a parasite
of
trees.
Yeah.
Okay. December 24th is known as Christmas Eve, but it is also what? Which makes perfect sense when you think about it.
It's also... it's the time when Santa comes. He starts on his sleigh.
Why would I quiz you about that?
I don't know.
It's National Eggnog Day. Now you know, right?
Wow.
Ecuadorians do what to celebrate the new year?
They dance.
They burn paper-filled scarecrows. And here's the thing. I don't really know why. If you're from Ecuador or know anybody, could you find that out and let us know? Because I don't know why.
Okay.
You know what the Swiss do?
What?
Drop ice cream on the floor.
Do they?
I don't know why. That's kind of a waste of perfectly
good
ice cream.
Oh, that is totally a waste.
And the people in Siberia?
Mm-hmm.
This one puzzles me.
Mm-hmm.
On New Year's, they plunge into frozen lakes while carrying a tree trunk.
What?
I get the frozen thing, but thing, because that's Siberia. They're like, ooh, let's have fun here. There's nothing else to do.
But they carry a tree trunk?
What? In Finland, you know what they do in Finland?
I don't know. They do anything in Finland. Finland's kind of crazy. I love Finland. It's kind of crazy.
It's beautiful. I've been there only once. Each New Year, friends and family gather to burn metal in a pan for a ritual called molybdominancy.
Wow.
The Finns inspect the shadows that the metal casts by candlelight, and those shapes are supposed to predict the future.
Well, there you go.
There you go. In Italy, you know what they do on New Year's?
No.
They wear red underwear on New Year's Day because it brings good luck all year long. I'm like, hey, it can't hurt, right?
Right, absolutely.
I'm going to wear red underwear.
Okay, me too.
And you know what? Everyone else is too, because why chance it?
Look, everybody who listens to this podcast, wear red underwear on New Year's Day.
Let's see how it goes. For 200 years, candy canes came in only one color. What color?
White.
Yes. Did you really know that?
I had no idea.
White. Yep. The red stripes appeared around 1900.
Okay.
Nothing's been the same since, right?
Okay.
Two more, and the pain will end.
Yeah.
How many kicks per show about do the Rockettes do?
Oh, I don't know, 100, 150.
300 per show.
Good grief, those girls.
And you know how many shows at holiday time they do per day?
Something like 3 or 4.
Four, which means 1,200 kicks a day.
Oh, my goodness, these women are amazing.
They're Amazon. They're amazing. They're like the most,
incredible.
Yes. And last question, since you did so well with this question before-ish, which two reindeer's names were not in the original poem?
Vixen?
Mm-mm.
Dasher?
Mm-mm.
Prancer?
Mm-mm.
Cupid?
Funny, you're running out of names. Mm-mm.
Rudolph?
No, he wasn't in the original at all. You're right. But these were they were in there, but their names were not the same. Their names had been changed.
Don't know.
Donner and Blitzen.
Oh.
In the 1823... Clement Seymour original poem, A Visit from St. Nick, Donner and Blitzen were Dunder and Blixman.
Oh.
I was like, what? It was a Jewish reindeer, Blixman?
Washington Post kind of Watergate thing. that sort of sounds like, yeah. Oh,
I got very excited about that. I go, Sean, there was a Jewish reindeer, Blixman. Those are actually Dutch words for thunder and lightning.
Ah.
And so it got changed a little bit.
You see, even though one has not done so well on that quiz, one has learned a lot.
I like how one speaks in third third person.
Yes.
When one wants to.
Well, one does sometimes if you're from the UK.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the next time we'll see you is, or talk with you, is New Year. So we still have some more celebrating to do.
Yeah, we'll have it'll just before New Year. And then on New Year's Day, we're going to have our last podcast on New Year's Day.
That's right. What are you doing for Christmas, for the holidays?
So we're just with family.
Love it.
Staying at home with family, thank goodness. There's no traveling, and you're staying at home, aren't you, as well?
Yes.
And then
mm-hmm.
you'll be...
I'll be here for New Year's.
Yeah.
It's not a new Year's unless I'm here.
I know.
Doing your daughter Alex's amazing quiz competition. I'm going to start brushing up. But
hey, have a happy holiday to all of you wonderful listeners. Thank you for listening to our podcast. And we really appreciate your support. And email us. Keep in touch.
Yeah.
Because we'll be back again, won't we?
We hope.
Very shortly.
And you know what? I would love people just email us and tell us what's going on with you. It doesn't have to be a question or even, hey, I like to make new friends.
This is a great community.
That's
Thanks,
right.
everybody. Have
Thanks.
A fabulous holiday.
Be safe and be happy and be well.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Here he comes. Here he comes.
Thanks for tuning in to Victoria Stillwell's Positively Podcast. For more information, visit positively.com. Get connected on Facebook and YouTube as Victoria Stillwell, or follow her on Twitter at Victoria S. Be sure to tune in next time as Victoria helps to change dogs' lives positively.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.